You're listening to The Mumcast, the best weekly comic book podcast recorded in Southampton, England on Thursday nights. In our 290th episode, we talk about this week's comics, and this week there'll be no spotlight. Around the mic tonight are...
Hello, I'm Nick.
Hello, I'm James.
Hello, I'm Jane.
Can I just clarify, Jane, it's 209, isn't it? What? So 209 comes after 208, doesn't
That's
it?
That's right, yeah.
Because I seem to remember that before we started recording, James said it's 208, and when we said, well, but I'm pretty sure... that we've had 208. He said, yeah, no, I distinctly remember Jane saying, welcome to 208. And he didn't, the penny didn't even drop for him. We had to drop the penny for him that isn't how numbers work.
When numbers get big, they get confusing, though, don't they?
Is 208 a big number?
208 recurring.
Oh,
yeah.
Recurring.
It's just going to be 208 now from here to when... I don't know, when are we going to call it quits? When one of us dies? When we all die? I mean, we're going to be like sugar babes?
We can't call it quits when one of us dies, because I want to be doing this for, you know, at least 6 more months.
I hate you. Because we know we're talking about it, don't we?
The joking about it so much, it makes us immune.
I hope so.
Yeah. I don't know. We could be like the sugar babes. There aren't really many people in Southampton I'd want to keep doing a podcast with.
No, that's true.
You can't have Steve and Jane on the same podcast because they'd explode.
That's like crossing the streams, isn't it? Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Neither of our other halves even really like comics. There isn't really. Who else is in Southampton that... James Shuler already has his own podcast.
That's it.
That's new and noteworthy.
He's new and noteworthy. No, that still stings, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It still stings. But it is good.
yeah, no, the one or two I've listened to.
Maybe we should audition.
Okay.
We should audition
no,
people.
No, it's good. It's good.
We should audition people.
Well, we don't need to replace anyone yet. You haven't... None of us have left.
Well, you want to be prepared. So you can, because we don't like to miss a week. So if like it happens suddenly, you want to be able to replace them instantly, don't you?
Would we keep the gender balance? So if you died, James, I said if, would we have to replace you with a man of similar density and size?
Oh, it's got to be one of my people, yeah.
So we couldn't just, it couldn't be two girls.
It's got to be a husky, it's got to be a husky dude. No, it couldn't be two.
Whereas I'm quite androgynous, so if I died, you could replace me with either and it'd be okay. Because if I shave the beard off, I pass.
To be fair, I might be beard or no beard, to be honest. I've told you that before.
It's my bottom. I've got a very feminine bottom.
That's why you refused to come back to our hotel room in a timely manner when we went to London earlier in the year, innit?
I was hoping you'd be asleep. Look, I have to be careful because I get very enthusiastic. Mm. It's better if the other person has a chance to get themselves... excitable a bit and maybe satisfy themselves a little bit before I turn up.
Fair enough.
Just saying. That way there's less disappointment all round. I'm never disappointed.
No, see, whereas I'm perpetually.
I meant in the bedroom.
Oh.
Jane, yes. How have you been this week? What have you been up to?
I have been good. I have been busy at work and doing other things. I've been watching lots of Mad Men. And that's been good.
Is it good?
Yes.
I haven't. We watched the first one and it was quite good, but it was a bit too... It seemed to me to be a bit too authentic. And I find anything that happened before 1977, when Star Wars was originally released, anything that happened before then, I just find boring.
Oh.
So Spartacus I can get away with because that's very heightened. It's not very realistic. Game of Thrones, I can get away with because it's not really this planet. But anything set before then, nope, boring.
BS.
Mad Men, it's all too... They're all in suits. Why would I want to harken back to a time when everyone wore suits?
That's where this is BS, man. It means before Star Wars. And it means things are rubbish. Oh, this is total BS.
Is it good? It's good, isn't it?
Good,
everyone
yeah,
goes on about
how
good
it
is, so it
yeah,
must be.
I've been enjoying it. And I watched a documentary called The Grizzly Man, following... What, is that wrong?
No, it's funny, because it's sad.
It is sad.
What's that funny? I don't understand.
It's just James, isn't it?
It was also inevitable, wasn't it? It's
about a man who would go to Alaska every summer and go and live with the bears to protect them, and he would try to be friends with them.
I already know how this finishes.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
Bears and humans get on fine from distance.
Yeah.
They don't cuddle well together.
They don't.
Notoriously ungrateful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you stroke their fur, they can't fly anymore and they die. That's how that works.
Actually, the documentary disproved that, so debunked that.
So they can still... Oh, that's good.
They can still fly. That was a sad documentary. I'm trying to remember what else I did at the weekend. It feels like such
cried,
a long time ago.
Cried lots and lots.
No, that's James's weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a good weekend, I think.
Why would you watch a documentary about a grizzly man when you live so close to James? You could just go around and watch him.
He wasn't fulfilling my need to watch grizzly men.
He's not. It's not quite as futile and obvious how he's going to...
I prefer to refer to myself as husky, anyway.
Oh, okay.
Rick's a bit obsessed with your death today, James.
Well, you got to have a hobby.
I was worried about you earlier in the week.
It was a cold.
Was that all it was?
I hope so.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Have you been to the doctor?
No.
Have you had blood tests?
Lots recently, but not...
And they didn't find anything?
I find it very unlikely that anything's cropped up since the myriad of blood tests I had a few months ago.
Okay, good.
Because that's how health works.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. No one ever gets anything. Nothing unforeseen ever happens.
No.
Good, okay, good. Good. And you're feeling okay now?
Well, I'm a bit peaky. I feel a bit manic today, which isn't good.
Yeah. Do you know, today for me was a Red Bull Red Bull at the start kind of a day, and I've had a lot of trouble.
I did switch coffee brands today. The local co-op that I go into to buy my coffee had a Nescafe Barista coffee, which is a premium instant coffee brand, I believe. But I had it at a very reasonable price. And it was a nice big jar. I drink a fair amount of coffee at work. I'll buy that. And it's a little bit stronger. It tastes like watered-down proper coffee.
I hope one of the various people you mentioned there pays us for that 30-second slot. Nescafe,
I'd take their money. Nescafe, I wouldn't take their money.
You feel a bit funny about it?
Well, I spent most of the 90s and the last decade boycotting Nestle, but as it didn't bring down their empire...
Now you're happy going and buying their stuff and mentioning them for no money.
Yeah, but then I thought, fuck it, Yorkies are nice, aren't they?
How are we going to monetize our personalities?
Although, to be fair, Nestle can use that, fuck it, Yorkies are nice.
Yeah.
They should, like people who are boycotting Nestle, that's how they should market. Go on now, but because Yorkies, they're lovely, aren't they?
Why don't they advertise them with a little picture of the dog? The Yorkie dogs, they're so cute. Everyone would buy them. You wouldn't have that whole gender bias thing going on with that, because women like dogs just as much as men do, especially cute ones.
Chocolate is poisonous to dogs, so that would be bad.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Why can't there be something for men? We get so little. And more specifically, they say Yorkies are for white middle class men, because what else have we got going for us?
Yeah, no, that's true. I've been looking at a baby.
All right.
I'm bored of your week now.
I think my wife's been looking at that same baby this afternoon, you know.
Oh, yeah. They've been visiting.
Apparently,
so that's good.
Yeah. When I'm not there, I notice that.
So I've been looking at him. That's been nice. And he's starting to look like my wife, which means I'm starting to like her a bit more as well.
Lucky break on his part as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm a bit worried that if we have a girl, she'll end up looking like me, though, and that wouldn't be so good.
That I really couldn't handle. You would have to keep me away from when she, you know, came of age.
Because either of us are going to live that long.
Yeah, I know, that's the point, actually.
Yeah, but that's for the other podcast. Oh, and I ended up having a slightly weird, because James wasn't available, my Monday evening was noteworthy because I ended up having to record a podcast on Skype, which I hate. Pamela's easy to use, isn't it?
It is.
Getting paid by Pamela. I just thought I'd mention it.
I got shown how immediately dispensable I am, which was quite galling as well.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet. It might be shit.
I can't. It's like I've been cheated on.
Okay. You haven't. There was no fondling or cupping of balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's literally the only noteworthy thing about, oh, no, I think something happened at the weekend. We probably did nice things at the weekend. Amy is very good at filling weekends with activities. Oh, no, we saw my nephews. That was nice. And my parents, which was okay. You know, you got to get as much time in with them as you can. When we're not talking nonsense about nonsense, we start talking about comics. We'll do that in a couple of minutes. We are ostensibly a comic book podcast.
Mostly.
Yeah, the best weekly comic book podcast recorded in Southampton on a Thursday night. That's the tagline.
By a mile.
You can take that to the bank. Right up until someone else starts recording one.
I took it to the bank. They didn't want it. They said, I'm sorry, you cannot open a current account with that.
It's very difficult to open a current account now.
It is. It shouldn't be that hard.
No.
The banks all fell over.
I don't think that's why they all fell over, James.
Tired.
Your understanding of the economy seems woefully inadequate in that particular area. I don't think it was because they were tired or because they were making it difficult for people to set up current accounts.
Do you think it's because capitalism is just as busted as communism ever was, but there's more vested interest in capitalism
you know how I feel about that. We are not getting into that conversation.
Okay.
Capitalism's just fine. If it wasn't for capitalism, we wouldn't have comics. We wouldn't be able to talk about them in a minute. Do not derail me, James. I will put you on the naughty step.
Is there nothing to be said for having a little go at communism?
We'll be talking about comics in a minute if James ever lets me get through this bit.
Go ahead, comrade.
You can talk to us about comics on Twitter. You can find us at Mom Comics on Twitter, or you can find James at...
I'm James Momb.
You can find Jane at...
Jane Momb.
And I'm Nick Sight. There's also John Momb. He writes reviews for the site and sometimes turns up on the podcast. You can find him. He spells his name without an H. I'm not sure why. Why do people call John spell
because
their names
because his full name's Jonathan and usually the shortened is...
Doesn't have an H.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So where does the name John with an H come? We can
that's
have that
a standard John.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's like Johan, isn't it? It's a sort of derivation of that, I believe.
You're like Johan.
Thank you.
You can also send us emails. That's nice. We do like audio contributions between 2 to 5 minutes long about comic-y stuff. If you send us something, it can be about a book that you feel that we haven't talked about enough, or something we haven't talked about at all, or anything comic-y related. If you really enjoy crossovers or variant covers, or you really hate them, or you want to talk about a film that's come out that we haven't talked about, then fine. Just don't go over 5 minutes, because it's a pain in the ass to edit them in. And if you do that often enough, you'll end up getting yourself a theme tune.
But yeah, I will deliver that.
Yeah, and you can also send us emails with something for James. We'll get to that in just a second. But if you are sending us emails, they need to go to the address
momcast@gmail.com.
Exactly. Thank you, Jane. The thing I was alluding to a minute ago is you can put something in James's mouth. It's the nearest we get to corporate sponsorship.
It's free advertising.
It is. It's free advertising for you. If you've got something to sell, or, you know, an idealistic viewpoint, or you're trying to start a cult, any of those things, just send some copy. James, the bar to entry is really low. He will say literally anything. As long as it doesn't have the C word in.
No, well, I'm tempted. No, well, maybe not. Not on the podcast. My mouth is your slave, essentially.
Yes. Slave James's mouth to your whims. He will put literally anything in there. So send that through to us. That should be, what, a few hundred words? Shouldn't take more than a couple of minutes to say.
It shouldn't take more than a minute, really.
Yeah. Practice it at home in your voice. And then beat yourself around the head a couple of times so that you find it a bit more difficult to read because of the brain damage. And then do your voice really low, like you're a Cockney, and then read it out. And in that voice, it should only take a couple of minutes.
A minute, okay.
But we like that. James hasn't got anything to... Nobody's put anything in his mouth this week, so he's feeling a little bit...
empty.
Blue.
Yeah.
We're also on Facebook and on Google Plus and on Tumblr. You can find links to those in the top right-hand corner of our website, which is momcomics.com. It doesn't make any sense getting Jane to say momcast@gmail.com and then getting me. You should just be the address announcer, shouldn't you?
Okay.
Okay, so you can find those links and all of our past episodes and all of the show notes for all of our past episodes at...
momcomics.com.
Exactly. Thank you, Jane. And, and do subscribe. You can subscribe at iTunes or in your podcatcher of choice. And please leave us comments anywhere you can find a space to leave a comment. Tell us what you think, because we know that people listen, but people need to share the love with the smaller... Everyone's telling like Matt Fraction that they like his comics and Graham Linehan and Ricky Gervais and stuff, that they like their stuff, and they don't need the validation. We need the validation.
Don't tell us, but do tell a friend.
Yes,
that you like us.
No, and tell us
and make them listen to it.
And tell us,
but download it. Don't let them listen to your copy. They could download one of their own.
Yeah, we can't understand the statistics that we get out of any of the things. But it does look better for us.
We know thousands of people are listening, but each week the statistics tell us there's only three.
I think the only reason we know that is that we're hearing about like people getting together and booking out a village hall once a week and listening to it on the loudspeaker. But it does sound better through your individual earphones.
Hi there, everyone. I hope you're enjoying yourself in the hall.
Yeah, that's the other reason we don't use that.
Is it a cake?
Oh, I like a cake.
I was waiting for them to answer then. For a second,
oh,
that was weird.
They won't answer, Nick.
That isn't how audio works.
If you are in the village hall listening to this, do email Nick to say that you're listening and answer back to him.
I'm gonna wait on the email right now.
No, don't do that, Nick.
That's good listening.
Is that not how podcasts work?
Clearly, we have no idea how podcasts work.
I am so tired.
I'm manic.
We should talk about comics.
Go on, then.
Do you guys want to talk about comics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which comics do you want to? Shall I talk about
comics first, Nick?
This week I read Avengers Arena number 16. It's still written by Dennis Hopeless. It's got art by Carl Malin instead of Kev Walker, which is a bit of a wrench. His art is very nice, but I think we're in the final arc. We're midway through the final five-part arc of this comic, and it's such a tight, concise little series, and everything... The consequences of every action in it are so important that it would have been kind of nice to see the same amazing artists that I've got used to. But basically, everyone's kind of... It's in the final couple of days of this Battle Royale style thing with all of these teen Marvel superheroes. And it's finally got to everyone. And everything's kicked off in this last thing, and I'm not entirely sure how many of them are going to survive till the end. I've been quite surprised so far by how it's been going. Francavilla cover. He does seem to be doing covers for nearly everything at the moment.
Good.
But it is always lovely to see him. I like it when you're watching him on Twitter and he gets into a TV series, because you know he's going to stop. He's probably not going to be able to help himself. He's going to start doing like a picture, an episode
of it.
That's
great, yeah.
His Doctor Who ones are better than Doctor Who. His Doctor Who pictures.
Same with Dexter.
Did he do Dexter ones? Ah, you see. It's just, so when he gets into a show that you're into, it's just amazing. But yeah, the main reason I mention it is that we are heading... towards the end of this series, when it's done, it's going to make an amazing couple of trade paperbacks. I mean, even if in the last two issues that are coming, it falters a little bit, it's going to make a hell of a pair of trade paperbacks, even if the payoff's a little bit rubs. That's how young people say rubbish.
Really?
No, I don't know, maybe. Coffin Hill, actually, and it's It's $2.99. And Coffin Hill from Vertigo is an extra sized issue that is also $2.99. It's written by Caitlin Kittredge with art by Inaki Miranda, who I believe I remember as having drawn the three-part story written by David Bailey in 2008 recently. Really, really gorgeous, gorgeous art. Doesn't look much like anything else around. It's ace. Coffin Hill's a little bit of an odd book. It feels like off-season Vertigo in some ways. It's not a criticism of the book. I'll explain in just a second, but it feels like one of their sort of titles that is by creators that people don't necessarily know and is slightly quieter and more muted, and it's really, really good, but I don't know if it's necessarily got enough punch to get in the sort of people that they'll need to make it last. I just knowing from experience that sometimes books like this at Vertigo don't get the attention they deserve. It's a really odd. It's got a great cover by Dave Johnson as well. It follows a rookie police officer, a female rookie police officer called Eve Coffin, who has ended up lucking into this amazing bust. She catches this serial killer, and this has happened before the comic starts. She catches this serial killer pretty much by accident, and it's set in Massachusetts, Boston, Massachusetts. And the attention that this gets her is a little bit stressful. And then some stuff happens that I don't entirely understand at this point that changes everything. But then you find out that the story isn't necessarily going to be about her being a cop in the present day. It turns out she's from this very old family in a town called Coffin Hill in Massachusetts. The town is named after the family they own. They pretty much built it, and they own this gigantic house. She's a bit of a debutante. She's the family. She keeps talking about how the family are really corrupted and evil, and that she's the black sheep. But you don't see as much of that in this issue as you do of her being the black sheep, really. And it all hints towards there being this very bad thing that happened in the flashbacks that we haven't entirely seen all of yet. That is what she was running away from when she decided to become a cop. Even in the first three pages where you're seeing her in Boston in the present day, there's stuff that's unexplained. So there's lots of ground to be explored there. And it feels very much like a groundwork book. For me at the moment, this is the artist's book. The writing is solid, but it's not as like striking as the art. The art is amazing. Inaki Miranda's Eve is incredibly emotive, and also the whole thing is beautiful to look at. So there are lots of beautiful people in this book, actually, in this comic, actually. It's kind of, at the moment, it's hard to say because of where it's set. I think it's going to be a bit, it feels to me at the moment like America is going through a bit of a witchy phase, because the most recent series of American Horror Story started last night, and that's going to have a witchy theme this season. DC just did a Witching Hour. Their most recent Vertigo anthology was called Witching Hour, but I didn't get a chance to read that because they're really super expensive, those things are. And this, I get the feeling, is there's lots of talk of Salem witch trials and stuff like that. No hilarious talking cats yet, though.
That's a shame, because that's the best bit.
Yeah. And from Image, another $2.99 book. It's confusing. It's $2.99, but it's called 3.
That is confusing.
It feels like it should be called 2.99.
It's too many numbers.
That is such a shit joke. I'm really sorry. It's written by Kieran Gillen. It's written by Kieran Gillen with...
Well, you'd think he'd know better.
Yeah, yeah.
He's savvy, isn't he?
He missed a chance there.
Yeah.
Because you can trick people into buying something that's 3 by making it
$2.99. Yeah, or I think he should have made the price 3.
Yeah. I'm getting very confused by numbers today, and I know you are. When you were having trouble with what number we're on, 208, is that because you see every number to something like 70 decimal places. And so it gets like numbers that might seem normal size to me or Jane, like 208, they seem a lot bigger for you because you're dealing with a lot more digits.
No, he just can't count.
Always do this on Thursdays, isn't it? I'm hungry now because you made me think about pie.
What? God.
That was good, Jane. You can't knock that. That was good. That was straight out of my brain hole.
Is it £3.19?
Or no, is it pie? No, it's, I can't remember what it is.
Okay. So written by Kieran Gillen with art by Ryan Kelly and colours by Jordi Belair. It's it's set in 364 BC and it's basically another look at ancient Greek culture. I haven't read all of the back matter where Kieran Gillen explains like some of the inspiration behind it, but the little bit I did read, it's basically I think it was kind of set off by thinking about by reading 300, the Frank Miller book, really enjoying it, but because he knows the he's known that's one of those, it's one of those battles that boys of a certain disposition end up knowing from very young anyway, because it's one of the big battles of history, isn't it? And he's sort of saying that as much as he loved Frank Miller's book, the pretty much perfect Spartans, on one of his rereads of it, really rankled with him, because one of the things I didn't know, you kind of get a sense of it in the film and maybe in the comics of 300, but one of the things I didn't know is that they really, really weren't nice to their slaves or their slave class, and used to hunt them for like once a year they'd hunt them for sport, and stuff like that. So although it's set in that milieu, it's set a few decades after the events in 300. I'm probably getting my history completely wrong. It's really focused on the Helots, who, like I said, I hadn't really heard of. They're kind of treated as lower than slaves. They don't really belong to anyone. They just belong to everyone, sort of thing. This is probably my favourite thing of Gillen's that I've read since Journey into Mystery finished, to be honest. It doesn't hurt that Ryan Kelly's art is great. It's not as stylized as I'm used to his art being. I'm very used to Ryan Kelly drawing quite hip young people in a contemporary setting, so this is quite unusual. Jordi Belair's colors are not as idiosyncratic as they are in some of her books. I didn't get around to reading Manhattan Project, which is the one I'm really thinking about when I say that. The color palette isn't as muted and distinctive in this as usual, but it still looks great. And although it's a very alien and ancient setting, Kieran Gillen's managed to pick out what makes these characters familiar, and it still kind of feels it feels punchy, and it's told in a quite contemporary way without actually everyone talking in a modern way or anything. It's a really considering the setting or the content of the story, it's a really smooth read. Smooth read sounds weird because horrible things happen in this book. It is quite violent. Not very nice things happen to the characters who I believe are going to turn out to be our protagonists. I'm not sure how long this series is going to run for either. I don't know if it says anywhere. It's good. It's only $2.99. It's probably on your comic shelves now, and I think it's great. I got on a lot better with this than I did with his the Avatar book that Kieran Gillen's writing at the moment as well. So, really good stuff. I like it, and it's not very much like 300, to be honest. Like, it's much more crisp.
Did it chime with you culturally? Could you feel your blood stirring and stuff?
I don't think my people were Helots. All right. Well, Greek Cypriots. I don't know where they originate from. They've been invaded Cyprus. So many times there. The Cyprus has been invaded so many times. I don't even know why. I think Greek is literally just the most recent language they're talking there. I don't know.
I can see why people want it. It is so delightfully pointy.
Yeah, I think it's probably been invaded about as many times as Britain. I don't know.
Probably. It's the best pointy island, though.
Crete's quite nice, but that's not really a pointy, is it? It's no. more of a crescent.
No, because, I mean, it's got a proper little unicorn thing going on, isn't it?
It does. Mm. It does. That's where all the power is. If you cut that off, suddenly it's just an island.
Yeah.
Like the Isle of Wight.
It's like the Isle of Wight, yeah.
So that's that. It is, it's really good. I really liked it. Fitting in with my rule earlier on about anything that, that is set before the 70s when Star Wars came out, because this is told in a really worky... It turns out that rule's bullshit. I don't really believe that. I don't even really believe that...
It's BS.
...that George Lucas is... that Star Wars was that good anymore. So that rule has just gone completely out the window.
Isn't Pi 3.16 reoccurring?
No, it's not. No, there's different numbers.
Is there?
Yeah.
Loads of them.
Oh, yeah,
confusing.
There is, yeah. But you shorten it to 3.16, don't you?
Yeah,
about,
yeah.
It sounds about right.
And in certain circles, I think you get more credit and kudos based on how many decimal places you can say it to.
Probably. Wow. Okay.
Those are all the really good parties on campus.
I don't want to be in those circles.
Why not? What's your problem, football boy?
He knows he'll lose.
I like football at the moment.
Yeah.
My team are doing
because
very,
you're
very
a jock.
Well.
That's why, James. You're a jock.
Yeah,
it's just
well,
we're on opposite sides of the table.
Yeah, I'm definitely
You'd probably
a jock.
Be grinding my face into the seat of my chair where I've been sitting.
It's totally my MO.
Yeah.
I'd probably do a little bum gas on it first.
Yeah, you would. That's just getting a flashback to school. Can someone else talk about their comics, please?
James.
Your names sound really similar.
Yeah, you do.
James, you have to go first.
Issue number 10, Star Wars, by Brian Wood and Carlos Dander. I haven't really got anything new to add to this. It's just I like to read it when I get it. So that means I'm going to talk about it every time I get it. The stories are expanding. You've got Han Solo on Coruscant trying to make contact with a rebel agent. You've got Wedge Antilles and Luke Skywalker on board the Superstar Destroyer Devastator, and you have Princess Leia, who's ended up in the Alderaan system, or the asteroid cluster that is what's left of Alderaan, and she finds a mysterious Republican cruiser with a mysterious man on it. And also you have, back at the Rebel fleet, you have Mon Mothma, and it's a trap!
Admiral
Akbar. It's just, and their stories are developing in a really nice way. Although the end of this book set up some action that will play out undoubtedly in the next issue, there was some really pleasing character development, especially between. It's quite a long scene between Wedge and Luke, where there's quite an interesting sort of, they meditate on. The situation the guys find themselves in, it's less about the sort of yee-haw heroics of Star Wars and more about Luke's developed this relationship with a young X-Wing pilot, and Wedge is kind of meditating on how short their lives are as fighter pilots of the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah,
not really themes that generally are explored and never explored in the film. Which is really interesting. It adds, and again, I think I've said this before, it adds light and colour to characters that we're so familiar with. You know, Leia her character is forced to deal with the true loss that she's been through, seeing her homeworld destroyed. So you've got both of the twins having to sort of face up to the tremendous loss that is in their lives, and also Han Solo and Boba Fett.
Everyone loves Boba Fett.
Exactly.
So
you've got like really interesting stuff going on, and like Boba Fett and Han Solo going, whoa!
A lot of the dust in that cloud that she was floating her ship through was actually her people.
It was, yes. People dust.
I was reading a couple of weeks ago about the. Because LucasArts, the game wing.
Mm-hmm.
Finally closed its doors recently, and they were talking about how there were lots of changes made to video games, and there was going to be like an almost Grand Theft Auto-esque open world game, I think probably set on Coruscant, and they were talking about maybe having Boba Fett as the main character in that. It gets very confusing.
I don't know if I'd enjoy that or not.
I don't know if I enjoy any of it anymore.
Not do I. I quite like in this, though, we find out how, you remember in Empire Strikes Back, their Rogue Squadron, and we get to find out how Rogue Squadron, the name came about.
In this issue,
which is kind of cute.
Yeah.
I like that. That was nice.
Yeah, it's kind of cute.
It's kind of cute. And it's another lovely cover where Wedge, I mean, that is Dennis Lawson, isn't it?
Wedge is such an interesting character because he's really caught the imagination of various writers and fans, and he really has even less to do than Boba Fett. But he's kind of an everyman. He's the one guy who doesn't get to be centre screen, but is in pretty much every battle and lasts the whole way through, doesn't he?
I'm really hoping that the J.J. Abrahams movie just follows Wedge about trying to deal with his survivor's guilt after
everyone else has died.
Because clearly from this book, he's going to be really crushed by it.
I guess Chewbacca won't be in those films.
Why not?
Because he's dead in canon.
Oh, you mean because isn't it Han Solo's son that kills him in...
I didn't read the books. I just remember everyone talking about how that was the case. I'm sorry, that's a huge spoiler.
I can't remember. At least one of the people that listens to us from time to time will be able to tell me. I've no doubt. But isn't it Anakin Skywalker? Or no, Anakin Solo or something. They're undergoing a rescue of some people on it, and Chewbacca gets killed in that or something.
They're literally the one thing that people never talk about in the Star Wars universe when talking about the Star Wars films is there are literally only as many names in that galaxy as we see characters named.
Well, you can understand.
So any outside of the films and anything that George Lucas has written down somewhere, they have to keep reusing the names because in that universe they only have that many names.
No, you can understand.
If you get a checklist of names you have to choose from.
The Skywalker family wanting to reuse the name Anakin because, like, you know, the first one was a real paragon of virtue.
Turned out so well.
Yeah, absolutely. A bit lumpy in the middle, but ended up all right.
If any of our listeners know, and this is genuine, I would appreciate this. If you know the what happened to Chewbacca, can you please leave it in the comments, either on Facebook or on the post for this episode? I would like to know more about that.
Just title the comment, yeah, ostensibly James is right.
I'd like details. James is always very low on details.
Just tell Nick what the book is, he can read the book.
I'm not going to read a Star Wars book.
I'm not going to read a book.
No, I'm not going to read a Star Wars book. I am at the moment going through Philip K. Dick's The Man in the High Castle. I have been reading it for maybe a year. And I'm reading a book of short stories by Elmore Leonard. That's taken me about 6 months. I read books. I just don't read them very fast, James.
I'm really struggling with Will Self's The Umbrella.
That's
it's a toughie.
Is it not just his cover version of that song?
I'd love that. I love him so much. I'd probably surrender my right arm to listen to Will Self. It'd have to be live. He'd have to be doing it just for me.
How would that transaction work? Do you expect him to eat it? Or?
Yeah, and then he can review it in his Real Meals column in the New Statesman.
Okay. So what else have you got to read, James?
Peter Panzerfaust. It's issue 15, $3.50. Curtis J. Weeb, Tyler Jenkins are the creative team. Peter Panzerfaust is, of course, the reimagining of the Peter Pan legend played out in a World War II setting. And the story itself really sort of follows a journalist going and interviewing various members of the Lost Boys.
Keith Sutherland.
That's it, yeah.
Alex Winter.
All of them, yeah.
Jamie Gertz.
Jamie Thixton.
And some other people who died. That's right. I don't remember.
And they sit there and they just sing that Thou Shalt Not Kill song over and over again.
One thing I never could stand about World War II was all the shit-sucking vampires.
No.
Michael, my own brother, a goddamn shit-sucking vampire. Mm. They don't suck shit. He really didn't understand about vampires.
Well, maybe they did. Mm. But, like, as a hobby rather than as, like, their meal.
Can we have about 2.5-second silence for Corey Haim?
No.
Whatever happened to Corey Haim?
He died.
Oh, yeah. That song's so redundant now, isn't it?
Oh, was there a song?
Yeah, it's by The Trills.
The
Thrills.
Oh.
I went to see him once. I got so drunk as well. I didn't really want to go to the gig, to be honest. I kind of liked him.
Is there
right.
a Faustian element to this comic? But it's just occurred to me that that's in the title as well.
I didn't really want to go, so I ended up in the bar for too long. I got absolutely... It's the only time I've ever found in sick from work with a hangover. I got slaughtered.
Was that from your current job?
Yeah, but I've worked there 12 years.
Oh, okay.
So it's a while ago.
Okay. There's no Faustian element in this book, is it? That's literally just the German... do you think there might be?
I don't know.
Jane, you're still reading this book as well?
I am, yes.
Okay, good. Just checking.
I haven't read this issue yet, though.
Took a long time to grow me. I must admit, the first couple of issues, I didn't actually twig it was Peter Pan at all. But the last couple of issues...
Is there in the title?
Yeah, in the first issue we reviewed... I pointed out that it's following Peter Pan.
There's a girl called Wendy. She says this is just like the book Peter Pan.
Wendy didn't turn up for a while.
No, I don't know. I don't know if there was or not.
To be fair, it's only in the last two issues that all of the characters that are familiar from Peter Pan have finally turned up.
Is Hook in it?
Yeah.
Is Tinkerbell in it?
Actually, no. Tinkerbell hasn't turned up in it yet as such, I don't believe.
Is the dog in it? Is Robin Williams in it?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
The dog's in it, Robin Williams is in it.
Oh, Jane hasn't read this issue. Oh, spoiler, James.
Robin Williams turns up. Of course he doesn't, because Robin Williams plays Peter Pan in the film Hook.
Hmm.
But yeah, all of the characters have turned up now. A bit of a kind of a slow burner with me. I enjoyed it. It was weird. It was odd. I absolutely friggin' love it now. It's really...
I've always loved it, James. I'm glad you love it now.
Well, I'm sorry I'm late to the party.
No, I didn't... Say to the
You were still at the party. You just weren't enjoying it.
Complimenting you. I'm nice. Pleased that you love it now.
I don't know what's real and what isn't anymore.
This isn't real.
I think Peter Pan's Faust is very, very good. But I don't know really where I'm going with this anymore.
Okay.
This Jane, issue's really good. Oh. Stuff's happening. Everything's great. Okay. And I bought a book that Jane's got as well, but mine hasn't got a cool nod to another really good comic book on the front.
Aren't they the same? Aren't the covers composed in roughly the same way, though?
Yes.
It's a scene from inside the comic. We should talk about that comic.
Look, we could put them together in it.
We could put them together. Anyway, listener...
Don't bend that shit, though.
Listener, we're talking about issue 37 of Chew, written by John Layman with art by Rob Gilroy. This is part 2 of 5 of Family Recipes. This issue sees Tony and his daughter, Olive, having to eat some unusual items... So that Tony can find out what happened to his twin sister, Tony, who was killed by a tubiopath as well. Mm. Yes, there are two covers for this issue, which we have side by side, just James and I have different ones. But my cover's better, not only because there's Olive and she's cool, but because Olive is wearing a T-shirt of the Lion Cat from Saga.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, that's cool. This issue we see Tony tripping balls. And seeing Tony, and sort of, he's on the path to discovery to find out what happened to his sister.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brilliant issue. It's just really funny. Lots of really scatty stuff happens, as it always does in Chew. But it hasn't. The one thing I found with Chew, I did start reading it from issue 8, I think it was, maybe 6. I can't remember now. So I didn't start from the very beginning, but. I got to a point where I felt a bit like it was going to out-silly itself, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean. Not that, well, I know you don't like the phrase jump the shark, but I knew... Mm. I
know what you mean, though. Yeah. I know what it means.
But it hasn't. It really hasn't.
Was it the fricking? Yeah. Was that what did it? Was
no,
the fricking?
But it wasn't the fricking. It was just... There were so many out, like, really silly concepts in it that you thought, oh, is this just going to get a little bit too ridiculous? But it hasn't, really hasn't. It's still a really good series. It's written really well. Art's really good as well. It's just lots of really good silly fun. But the narrative is still strong. You still know what's going on in the story. There's still strong themes in it. And it's going somewhere as well. I enjoyed this week's issue.
It's also very hard to imagine anyone but Rob Gilroy illustrating.
Say it again.
Gilroy. It's quite hard to imagine anyone but him. His art works so perfectly, and the art with the situation that Tony finds himself in, his particular issue, the way that plays out, the art works so beautifully.
Mm. Yeah. It's done. Yeah, it's very nice.
Mm. Read the term "jump the shark." I'm not too bad about the term. Mm. I'm just not convinced that when people spend all of their time looking for that moment in a thing, it makes for a particularly positive experience. And I always think of now, there's a line in Community which I'll paraphrase, where Donald Glover's character Troy is in a bad mood with his friend Abed, and he says, "Oh, and another thing, that thing you always say about shows jumping the shark. Well, it actually happened in a show once. It was in a show called Happy Days, and it was awesome." I don't know how good the people who were watching Happy Days really thought it was, that they thought it really went downhill after that point.
Maybe, I don't know. By the way, I've just remembered the really significantly good thing about Peter Pan's Affairs that I was going to say before you all confuse me, is there's one of the most beautiful wordless love stories played from beginning to end over about five pages in this issue, and it is a staggering use of art to tell a story without any dialogue.
That sounds pretty high concept.
Really beautiful.
Before Jane talks about her other book, I just want to mention that I didn't buy Death Sentence this week, even though I was really, really interested in it, because it's a Titan book, but our local Forbidden Planet, who are great always, but inexplicably only got one cover, and it seemed like an expensive cover, and hardly got any issues of it. I'm sure there are very good reasons why Titan aren't feeding stuff out to their Forbidden Planets in a different way, but I wanted to get that and I didn't, even though Mark Millar says it's the best comic idea, I wish I'd thought of it, blah blah blah. I still want to read it.
Yeah, I make no comment.
Jane, back, you had another book.
Yep. The second book I'm going to talk about is issue one of Rocket Girl with I need to double check this. Yes, sorry. They've got them the other way around on this cover. So art by Amy Reeder and written by Brandon Moncler.
I think that may be because I think it's her original. It's very much. I listened to their podcasts a few times until I stopped listening to them. And it's very much kind of, she's got quite a big share in the creative process. So.
This story, we meet a 15-year-old girl called Dae Young, who goes back in time. She's from 2013, but she goes back to 1986, and 1986 is the present, but 2013 is the past. Anyway.
Is the past?
Yeah.
Or her past?
Yeah. No, I don't know. That's what it says in the book. Anyway, it's about time travel, and... Dae Young, Rocket Girl, goes back in time to stop something, to stop the world from ending, is pretty much what she's doing. And she explodes into 1986. And starts causing all kinds of chaos, but in a good way. In really, really good book, really good first issue. All the characters really well introduced. Dialogue's really, really good, really witty, funny. You get the 80s vibe and you get a non-2013 but a futuristic vibe from the 2013 side of things. The art, though, is gorgeous. I love Amy Reeder's artwork. So that's the thing that really... I saw her name in this book and I just thought, I'm just going to get that. I don't even need to open it up. I know it's going to be good. Interesting... concept. We'll see how it goes, but yeah, it's good.
How much was it? Was it another $2.99?
But it was $3.50.
$3.50.
Yeah, I mean, you get a full story in here. It's that's gonna sound really bad. It made me feel a bit Ghostbustery when back in the '80s. Just
the setting did.
Yeah, I liked that. It was a weird. I know it was a year after. Wow, probably the same time as the second one, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. But it was quite nice and. There's, you know, they call her Rocket Girl because she has a rocket pack, as the cover suggests. So you can imagine the kind of, oh my God, the future's here kind of the reactions that she's going to get. But it was really good. I enjoyed it.
They, Amy Reeder and Brendan Moncler, do a podcast together. And okay. I think it's weekly, and they do talk about process and stuff like that. So it's worth a listen.
Check that out. I didn't know it existed.
I can't remember what it's called, though. probably Amy Reader and Brandon Montclair's weekly podcast about stuff.
That's good. That's good.
It's pretty catchy.
Yeah.
Google it.
There are
listener.
Lots of
why don't you just Google it?
Or sorry, other search engines. Yeah.
I use Yahoo now because I heard that's what all of the hipsters do in America.
No, not Bing.
Not Bing, no.
Whoa,
Yahoo.
Short message.
Yahoo.
Yeah, there were.
Jane hasn't finished talking about
it. There are plenty of issues on the shelf at our local comic book store, so go and seek it out and read it. It's worth it.
So if your local comic book shop doesn't have any,
come
just nip to Southampton. It's all right, you might bump into us. James works there. Steve, Mark, Rose, Phil.
Is it worth
are the two girls whose names I can never remember, but they're really nice.
Is it worth like a day return from, say, London?
To get
this
one
comic? Mm. Oh, I don't know about that. If you're going to come to Southampton and do something else...
Or if you're stopping
in Southampton on the way to something good.
There is loads of stuff to do in Southampton.
Titanic Museum.
Yeah.
Got this nice library.
Go to Monkey World. Just stop here on the way.
Monkey
I'm sure
World's
it's on the way.
Freaking miles away.
You'd have to drive. You couldn't catch a train.
No. Or just go to London Forbidden Planet, and if they don't have a copy of it, get it.
If all else fails, Comixology.
Yeah, you could do that. That's digital comics, right?
Yeah, instantly on your device.
Do you reckon you could walk the Monkey World from Wall train station?
Yeah, you can. You have
can,
to.
And
that's
I
the
have.
Only way to do it. If
well,
you're
no,
on
you
foot.
Drive. But you drive. Yeah, you can and I have.
Okay.
But it's a bit scary, though.
I like Wool. It's a funny name for a village.
I love walking. I love walking along like dual carriageway bits, and I realise that the reason why is we've been watching the Alan Partridge episodes when we've got a 20-minute gap, half-hour gap at the end of the night, and we watch the one where he's really bored one weekend and he goes to the local
garage.
So funny.
And
such
he's singing one of the James Bond themes, isn't he, on the way back?
It turns out that it's one of my... It's got most of my favourite jokes
from that
one episode.
He buys all the screen wash as well, doesn't he? Yeah.
And there's a sexy side to the episode as well. I like it.
Is that the one with his drawer? Where they keep trying to look in his drawer?
I don't think it is.
No. Is it the one where he's looking out the window, perving
That's
on...
That's the one,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Oh, it's so good. You should watch it. It's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And you can download it. We've probably got the DVDs somewhere as well.
You can buy the DVDs quite cheaply. And don't forget to get Mid-Morning Matters as well, because that's a really good spin-off from that.
Yes. But yeah, so you could go to Wool.
I used to work in Wool.
Did you?
Yep.
You were a knitter.
I was a knitter in Wool.
The thing I was going to say is I've been reading lots of digital comics recently, and I've been catching up on, and I find it strange that nobody really talks about it that much, because it's another Mark Waid book from Marvel at the moment. Indestructible Hulk is great. It's really good.
We need to make a clarification. The app that you were talking about last week.
Which one?
The comics reader app.
Oh, I'll find it. Go on, carry on. What do we need to say about it? Oh, look, my son. Oh, never mind.
It's not available on iOS at the moment.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. I think there's plenty of... There must be an equivalent on iOS, though.
Okay,
Don't Apple hipsters read webcomics?
No. Oh, and by the way, we were talking about podcatchers of choice. While I was desperately trying to get my podcatcher of choice, iTunes to frigging work after a rather innocuous update that ended up... ruining my podcast library. I happened to go on to the Monkey on My Back iTunes page, and I just want to say thank you very much to everyone who's left a comment.
Yeah,
there are a few on there. We really genuinely, I hadn't been on there for a while, hadn't seen a few of them, and really appreciate all of you that have taken the time to do that. It's it was lovely. It made me, I was getting very stressed about my pod situation with my iTunes, and seeing that cheered me right up. It did.
Don't you cry, damn you, don't you cry.
I'm holding it together.
That was a little fake cry. He's really good. Yeah. He should have been on telly, really.
No.
Maybe as an EastEnders villain.
It's still time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, fuck me, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel. Danny Dyer's going to be on it soon, so it's only a matter of time, isn't it?
Oh, that's hilarious. Yes, so yeah, Indestructible Hulk, another Mark Waid book, and it's so good. And people keep talking about Hawkeye and forgetting about Daredevil. Daredevil's so good.
It is, yeah.
Anyway, did anything happen this week?
I was on the Twitter and I was reading it, and Rob Lee.
No.
All right, then.
Why, what? No, what did he say?
He,
so goes any joking. I don't want to know what he said.
Why don't you do something exciting, James?
It's quite insightful. Oh, yeah, I've got something. I ain't got anything to put in my mouth, but I've got something for this bit.
What?
I've noticed, like...
I am so resistant to this listening.
Yeah, I know you are, because it's going to be all about noises, this, and you hate noises, but...
Yo, I've got a thing. I really hate noises.
I've got a noisy thing in front of me, like sites and podcasts and vlogs and stuff that are better than us. They do exciting things when stuff comes out. They do like unboxings, right? So I thought,
like unboxings. You mean they do unboxings?
It's the way I'm using... that's what they drink in the Congong.
Congong.
Way down deep in the middle of the jungle.
No, hold on. No, what would it be? Because obviously they say the Congo because it rhymes with Mbongo. What did I say?
I don't know.
Anyway, they do unboxings that people may or may not do in the Congo. I don't know. I've not been there and I don't think it's been on that dance.
Amazon probably deliver.
Yeah, they probably... No, that's a different continent.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, they do unboxing. So I was given this box to do an unboxing by our friend Ed. Thank you very much, Ed. It's very generous of you. We appreciate it. We love your face. Also your mind and stuff, but on a superficial basis.
Oh, God.
Mostly his face. But, you know, he's got a mind and a he's got a mind and a generosity of spirit that
how
I love
would you how would you
as
just
well.
Define mind, though?
What do you mean?
I mean, where is it in the
he's
body?
He's not really thinking about it. He's just thinking about his
face.
Well,
the mind isn't a tangible thing. I'm having an operation on my mind tomorrow.
Well, no, that's exactly my point. Why did you bring it up?
Well, because I like it.
We're a very scientific podcast normally, and I don't understand why you're bringing it up.
Well, there's a scientific...
Is it behind the face? Does it hover in front of the face?
I think it's
in his handbag.
It's between the face and...
Has he got a handbag?
The Shatner's
James
persona.
Has, yeah.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
Does Ed have a handbag?
Don't think so.
Where does he keep his mind?
James keeps Ed's mind in his handbag.
I think the film A Beautiful Mind was probably about him.
Is this like Tom Baker in in that Sinbad film where he kept his soul in his heart in a tower? James, as long as James's handbag is safe, Ed's mind will not go.
Yeah.
You thought A Beautiful Mind was about Ed?
No.
Isn't that about a guy who's like,
I want to retract that statement. I like Ed a lot. Ed is lovely. And so he's given us this exciting thing to unbox. And I'm going to unbox it. We cover reactions.
Have you not unboxed it? I thought you were doing it while you were talking.
Shush. We're unbox it. Don't ruin the unboxing then.
I might not understand how this works.
Well, how are you feeling at the moment looking at this brown box? It's a brown rectangular box.
Is it not just... it's not literally just you're opening a box. It's you have to announce it and describe every single stage of it.
I don't know. I've never seen an unboxing. This is just how I imagine
they go. I'll do the commentary if you want.
All right. So I'm going to start unboxing some.
No, I'm going to coach you. So he's lifting up one flap. No, he's lifting up the other flap. There's some polystyrene bits in there.
They are not
crunching them together.
Stop
That's
it.
A really horrible noise. Sorry, listener.
So I'm moving. What am I doing
I
with
think
the Wotsits?
He's moving out of the box. I think he's just realised the gravity of how many of the Wotsits are actually in the box. And
you just haven't
take
even considered
a little
not,
bit longer than he anticipated.
I'm not, because I said to John yesterday when Ed had given this to us. Lent it to us. He's not giving this to us. I said to John, I'll come and have a look at this. It's quite exciting. Expecting him to just move the beans to one side. Just grabs the book right out and he's like, tries to put it back on.
Right.
Like floating on top of the beans. He doesn't have any bloody etiquette.
So James is carefully moving the Wotsit/beans.
When James says that I try and talk him out of things, normally all I actually do is explain to him what exactly doing something might entail, which he hasn't considered, and then he decides he's not going to do it because it's a lot of work.
I'm all right with this. I don't mind a bit of manual labour.
You know those aren't what? Just don't eat them.
They look like albino. They do look like albino Wotsits.
Just
don't.
Stop referring to them as Wotsits because you'll forget and then eat them.
James hasn't realised that if he sweeps them all to the right-hand side, he can put them through the hole in the box onto the flap much quicker than how he's doing it now.
No,
we won't bring that up.
Do you know why I'm doing it this way? Because it's killing you, Jane, and I know that.
It's not killing me.
What I find a little bit annoying is, from what you've just said, you have previously been into this box. So A, it's not a proper unboxing, but B, you and someone else went into this box, moved all of the plastic beans out, put them to one side, and then when you put it all back together, you put the book back, the book, back.
Don't spoil it.
Under the beans. Why didn't you just put them underneath? Like, why didn't you put the beans on underneath?
Because that's how we found it. I wanted it to be how we found it. You know, because Yodel know better if it was, I don't know, whoever packed it, I think probably knows more about packing than I do.
Yeah, but they probably don't know much about podcasting, do they? Let's be honest.
Well, nor do I.
So James,
and I could tell what it was about 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, but
so this is
the
no
listener
fun for me.
Can't. Well, it's not meant to be fun for you.
Okay.
When is this podcast ever meant to be fun for you, Nick?
In amongst the bickering, listener, James has actually uncovered the item and is lifting it out of the box.
Would you like to describe what you can see, Jane?
I can see a book.
That's
it's
helpful.
Black and yellow cover with a man silhouette on the front cover. And that's all I can
see. Does it look from the cover?
Plastic.
Does it look from the cover like it has a slight air of controversy about it?
No.
Oh, that's interesting.
Smell it, see if there's a whiff of controversy.
God, okay. No, it just smells like plastic.
No, okay, controversy
so
at all.
I'm going to take the wrapping.
Taking the wrapping off. I can now see the spine.
You're
of
literally
the book.
Are you going to read the fucking thing as well?
Oh, did Jane tell you what I planned to do?
Oh my god!
So I'm opening it up.
I can see the spine of the book. I'm not sure if I should say what's on the spine of the book. That's James crinkling some plastic.
It says Zenith by Grant Morrison and Steve Yeo. It's the 2000 AD Zenith book.
So
it's just in case you wondered, it's 270.
And you've been so Ed Ooh. Has given you a copy of that book.
Mm. Lent him.
Lent you a shrink wrapped copy of a book to open. Were you supposed to open it?
Yes.
Yes, I had a long conversation with him because I wanted him to open it.
Maybe A Beautiful Mind was about him, because that's not normal. You don't buy something like that and then let someone else open it.
No, it's very nice of him, I think, isn't it?
I think he's expanding his enjoyment of the book to everybody.
There's an etiquette thing here. You don't even open another person's pack of biscuits.
I did try.
It's for them
to
open, even if they're going to share it with the room.
I agree. I tried to talk him into it. I was telling you what, it smells intoxicating.
He hasn't given you that, has he?
Does it? No. There's a very strong solvent smell.
Okay.
From it, which
are you sweating into it?
Little bit. Should I have worn white gloves?
Yes.
Anyway, It's lovely. It's a beautiful hardback edition. It's got a little. It's got a little yellow.
Don't pull it.
Bookmark.
Well, what were you going to do with it? I thought it's I thought it was a pop-up thing.
Yeah, well, you pull it and then Zenith pops up and tells you the whole story. Yeah. It's like one of those pull-cord dolls. No, I'm really glad he didn't give you that, because if you had literally made me sit through you opening, like someone giving you a hugely expensive gift that is of my favourite comic of all time, that would just be cruel.
I couldn't possibly, if anyone tried to gift this to me other than, say, my wife, I think I'd probably have to turn them down because it is too.
Has your wife given you that?
No, it's too expensive. It's not. I'm gonna read it and I will spotlight it in a future. Give me a couple of weeks. I'll spotlight it in a couple of weeks. Oh God, Jane's got her own. So that's the value.
What's that there?
It's more beans.
No, there's a card thing.
There is a card in the box. The card says 365 graphicnovels.com, and I reckon you go there because that's Ed's excellent. Site where he's completed now the task of reading and reviewing 365 graphic novels in a year.
Okay.
It's a nice card, actually.
It is good.
It does smell gorgeous.
What are you going to do with that now, then, James?
Zenith.
No, the packaging in the box.
I'm going to put the book back after we finish recording.
Good, okay, good.
Put it back in my bag. I'll probably take this rubbish and I'll dispose of it in the bin as we leave.
I think you're growing as a person.
What do you think? I'm just going to leave this here and sort of someone else clear it up after me and read it.
No, I just didn't think you'd have thought it through.
No, totally.
You'd end up doing the right thing, but I figured you'd learn what the right thing was as you went.
No, that was very nice. Thank you, Ed. That was our first and last ever unboxing of a book.
Oh, no, I think that worked really well. We should do them every week.
Is that better than put something in James's mouth then, do you think?
No, and well,
it suited the needs of this week.
I don't want to underplay Ed's very kind gesture.
Exactly.
I don't think he necessarily knew the consequences of what he was doing.
Oh, I think he
and
knew.
And put something in James's mouth is just one of my favourite features of any podcast in this or any other decade.
That's quite an endorsement. Thank you, Nick. Do you think when I see...
I've only listened to them in this decade.
Because Ed works in the same place as Jane and I. Do you think when I see him tomorrow I should chat across our office, Ed, do you want to put something in my mouth?
Yes.
Okay.
You should definitely do that and you should video the whole thing.
Probably won't. We're not allowed a video in our office because of confidentiality.
Oh. Well, that's lame. You should do it, but you should put that blur effect over, like, literally everything.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, I'll do that then.
And it'll look like you just jizzed over everything.
Oh, Nick.
I can do a video of that as
well. No.
I think it just remains to see what everyone... Am I forgetting anything?
No.
What are your first impressions of that book?
Well, my first impressions of that book are the same as my initial impressions when I saw it was going to be happening. I would really like it.
But it's sad because you haven't. I've got a copy of it. Well, it's not mine, but I've got a copy of it. You haven't.
Yeah, no, that's thing. Thanks for literally just basically concreting the thing I was describing. Thanks, yeah. James. Exactly why it's...
The enormity of the irony is just hitting me.
That's not what irony is.
Isn't it?
No, not exactly. It's just a bit depressing.
Okay.
It's cruel. I mean, it's maybe dramatic irony, but it's not actual irony.
Okay, fair enough.
Irony is me saying, yeah, I think that went really well. That's irony.
That's facetious.
Yeah, but it's also sarcasm. Irony. They're not mutually exclusive. And sarcasm, it's quite similar. When you say something that you don't mean and it's obvious you don't mean it, that's one proper meaning of irony.
I thought like a scorched shirt as well. It's like, oh, I've scorched it. It's gone a bit irony.
Oh, yeah, that. End rain on your wedding day. That's ironic. A million spoons when you've already gouged your own eyes out with spoons.
Yeah, that's irony too. That is ironic.
Yeah, okay, so what are you guys doing in the coming week?
I've got a child's party to attend with my child on Saturday.
Good, remember the child, otherwise you're just an overweight bear at a child's party.
I'm here for Joseph's party. Where are the sausage rolls?
Yeah, and I'm going to take my child to that. So
Grizzly Man.
Yeah,
a documentary about inner city depravity.
She's the sausage roll gatekeeper. So, yeah, that's something to look forward to.
You're going round to eat what? You're going to savour her sausage rolls?
I'm lying. I'm going to be drinking Coca-Cola because it's at a kiddies indoor play area.
Okay.
And I think they've got a Coca-Cola fountain, so it's nice. It's that syrupy stuff.
It's
I like
good.
It.
Jane, what are you going to be doing?
Oh, I don't know. This weekend's a mystery. Whatever it brings, it brings.
We've got a secret project that we'll maybe talk about next week. We'll see how it goes. But Jane and I have got a secret project also on the go this weekend as well.
Oh, you know the last time you announced a secret project, I'm still like handling disappointed people saying, so what's happening with the secret project that James announced on the podcast? And I'm like, yeah, it's not happening.
I haven't seen since we last... was that the thing about the save the date thing?
Yeah.
I haven't had an update about that. We should ask.
Oh, no, I'll talk to you about it.
Oh, okay.
I thought I already had. This is all very mysterious and cryptic. So you guys have a secret project that you're working on?
Yeah, and we'll tell you how it went next Thursday.
Does it involve cake?
It wouldn't be a secret if we told you.
Does it involve you crazy kids finally getting married?
It might do.
We're going to have our first wedding.
Incest still not allowed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought that'd be the extra wrinkle, because I'm sure people have got married on the podcast before, but never a brother and sister.
No. It would, that would be insects, wouldn't it?
Oh, God.
Insects. Yeah, that's what that'd be. In-laws are coming down this weekend, so that'll be nice. It's always nice to feed them instead of the other way around. Sleeping.
Yeah,
I feel like I haven't slept enough this week.
I'll go for a nice swim.
My back's starting to, like, in a way that seems like niggling and constant in the background.
That's because you keep picking a small human being up. Go swimming. It's good for you.
Mm.
I mean, the fact that my hip hurts all the time at the moment, I'm sure it has nothing to do with the fact I swim so much at the moment.
When did that start happening? Has it been since you had your blood test?
Not long after I started swimming regularly.
All right, okay. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be anything to do with that, though. You should get another blood test.
I might get another blood test. I'm fucking brilliant at them. I tell you, my body pisses out blood on command almost now.
I'd like to see that.
That is normal.
We should put some tarpaulin down first or something.
No, okay.
Right, well, I think that's it then. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, listener. You're lovely. And I think that's us.
Yep.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Like that isn't gonna help.
Sorry,
you fucking idiot.
Bum.
Here, this will stop the noise. Here, this will. That's loud. Why am I shouting? I don't know.
What number are we on this week?
We've started
209, is it? Are we on 209? Is that what you're saying, James?
No, I said 208.
I don't think it is 208.
That was my guess.
Were you not here last week?
Yeah.
You were here last week?
Yeah.
So why?
Well, it's just I seem to remember Jane saying welcome to the 208th Monk in My Back podcast last week.
So that'd make this week 209, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You fucking idiot.
How do numbers work again?
So this week, so we're going to do try and do 208 again.
Let's have another go at it.